Wake Up Call, 1300 WTLS, 106.5 FM. Trey Cochran Gill here with us in the studio. And, you know, we've had you on several times. And we've been talking baseball, but we'll talk a little football, too, today. So we're doing a century of Tennessee High School football. You're a big part of that as well. But I do want to start with a little baseball news, because this has been an odd year, no doubt. None like we've ever seen with the COVID-19. And you would normally be working with your minor league affiliation with the Oakland A's organization. But no minor league baseball this year. So what's this been like for you? And I know you've been working with kids in the offseason like you always do anyway, but I guess that's carried over some for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been a strange time. I'm still trying to get my work in, but also do lessons. They still want us to get our normal workload in, so I'm trying to get in maybe around like 50 innings.
So how do you do that when you're not able to be with a team? What are you doing?
So I've been fortunate enough to have a catcher and a hitter. So usually Jacob Gibson or Bo Baker, they catch me. And then I have a hitter that's going to CAC this coming up here. He stands in to, for live ABs.
Who is it?
His name's Gavin White. He's actually from he's up from like around Beulah.
Yeah.
But he plays on a Jacobs Metro team. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got hooked
up. So he gets
him
up there, and you, does he actually swing the bat and everything?
Oh yeah, huh? Yeah. He's
the real thing.
Pitching. Yeah, he's trying to get
ready.
He's
not just standing in the box.
Oh, nah. So I've been facing him for probably about 2 months.
So how often do you guys go against each other? If it's 2 months, how many times is he standing in the box against
you? I mean, right now I'm throwing about 2 times a week. So usually one day I'll go one inning, like 20 pitches, and then the second time I'll go 2 innings, about 40 pitches. So he's seeing a lot of pitches.
I bet you it's helping him, too. It's yeah, just, it helps sure. you, but I bet you he's getting some good work.
Right, he's seeing a lot of live pitching. He's getting some good work in as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting in itself. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking, baseball on the major league level is different. The minor league systems are down, but there's still this interesting 60-game season that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And these rosters, and they're basically working with 60 players. You know, they have 40 mans, I guess, that are right there on site. But there's these other players that potentially could get called up, and we don't know what's going to happen with the COVID-19.
Right.
Is there a chance that you think you might get some work? I know you're not in the 60-man group right now, but what do you think?
Yeah, with injuries and guys getting sick, they want us to stay ready. So I'm doing my best part to stay, you know, stay ready in case I get that call.
Yeah. Yeah. What's this like for you not being in a regular season, even though you are working? Is this good for your arm? I mean, is it a chance that you – I mean, obviously you got to still get to work, but you talked about rest in the past when you've kind of rested your arm after a long season.
I think it's good and bad. Mainly, I'm still able to get that work in, so I'm keeping the arm going and really trying to prepare for next year. Like, I want to go into next year as strong as possible. But – I guess, you know, you aren't having the stress of playing 142 games.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes if you're rolling as a reliever, I mean, you may be in there 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
So it's like pitch, day off, you're ready for the next day. So now, you know, only throwing, you know, twice a week, the intensity isn't as high. You can still rest it but get your work in.
How did it go last season?
It
I haven't talked
well
to you since then, yeah.
Yeah, it went well. I had some ups and downs. I think the biggest thing I've struggled with the past 2 years is just limiting the big innings.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a reliever, you're going to have games where you go out, give up one or two. It's going to happen. But what's tough to come back from is when you give up 3 runs, 4 runs, because then you got to pretty much put together like a solid month of not giving up a run.
Well, yeah, that's just it. Yeah, because you don't get to work 7 innings,
right,
5
exactly.
innings, whatever, and work, you know, if you're looking at ERA and things like that. I mean, it's – and I know they look at everything. They're not just looking at, well, he came in. And is coming in as a reliever, do you come in most of the time when there's situations, or do you get to start innings fresh? What does it look like usually for you, or does it change up
a
lot?
It just depends on how the starter's doing.
Yeah.
In the minor leagues, they're big on, like, pitch counts.
Yeah.
So, you know, a starter might only can go 80 pitches.
And it's over at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they might give him one or two over.
Yeah.
But usually they're on the, you know, they're stopping him at, you know, 78, 79. And so, you might have to come in the middle of the inning or start the new inning.
It's been an interesting year for us at a youth level. And I see you working with these kids here. You've been doing that for years. I mean, what's that been like for you? I know that it's nice to develop these youth and see them working their way up, and they all have aspirations to see, to do the things you've been able to do as a baseball player.
Yeah, it's been good to work with those kids and, you know, kind of give back what I've learned along the way. And just see the game grow here.
Yeah. That's good to see at the ballpark. We don't get that during the season, and we were glad to see you out. It's just kind of a neat deal. I'd recommend it. I know we were talking about doing something for opening day. We didn't have an opening ceremony for our Dixie Youth, but we wanted to recognize you. I don't know if anybody told you that. It would have been said, we're not going to get this chance to have him here while we have a season, but we didn't get an opening ceremony, but at least the sentiment was there. I want to let you know that.
Okay.
Well, let's talk some football. I know, we usually talk baseball with you, but we've been going over 100 years of Tattlesy football here. It's the 100th season coming up. And we just had Coach Dollar on yesterday. Okay. You played for him. You were an all-state quarterback who played in defense, too, defensive back at Tattlesy. In some pretty good years. We talked about that. He brought something up that you don't really think about much. It's rare to see a player come in and start as a ninth grader, start playing quarterback. And he talked about, I remember when he got here, he said he talked with your parents and said, want to start him early. Do you remember back then when you were just a freshman and getting ready to kind of break into this varsity ranks that you would be coming in as a young? And we got one now that's doing the same thing.
That's right, yeah.
What was that like if you could jog your memory back to those days?
It seems like forever.
Yeah, it's been, about 12 years, 13, something like that?
It was – I remember, like, always, you know, practicing with the second team, the scout team or whatever. And I would usually do pretty well. Like passing wise, stuff like that, like controlling the game, controlling the offense. And I remember, I think it was, we were about two or three games into the season, and Coach Aller came up to me and he was like, you know, I want to start you at quarterback. He's like, you think you're ready for it? I was like, yes, sir, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I jumped in there and I tried to give it my best and lead the offense.
What's it like when you're that young playing with seniors and juniors?
Yeah, it was
in football. You know, a very physical sport, sure.
Right. Yeah, very physical, especially with the region we were in. But I think having so many great guys around you, it made it a lot easier. Like, I mean, that year, my freshman year, my sophomore year, I mean, we were super talented, and so you know, you get it, you get the ball, you hand it off to a running back that could do his thing, or you know, we had guys like Tyler Grant, Channing Ellis, at receiver. Get the ball to those guys, let them do their thing.
I went yesterday. I went back and was looking at some of these accolades, and you were All-State. It's actually a defensive back your junior year. Right. You were honorable mention, and then the next year you were All-State as a first-team player at defensive back. So we talk about the quarterback side, but you actually got the honor on defense.
Right. I think I was playing free safety.
Yeah.
I enjoyed defense. I don't think I was as big of a hitter as my brother was.
He was a hitter.
Yeah. But I was always around the ball.
Yeah.
I felt like, making a lot of tackles and stuff like that. I guess it isn't the best if I'm having to make the tackles at free safety.
Right, that's right. Yeah. They want to get them before you.
Yeah. Right, but I guess I was like the last resort, so I was trying to, you know, save them from scoring.
When you're going through your high school days, you were one of these two-sport athletes. You played, obviously, football and baseball. You obviously had an opportunity to play baseball, and you played at Auburn. But football, you had to get some attention there. What was that like, and did you ever consider maybe trying to go that route?
So we used to get those letters, but I think they were letters to like a few guys. So I don't think they were teams that were really like super interested. It's just like, hey, we see you. I would have loved to play football, but obviously, you know, I'm only like 5'10". If I could have had a few more inches.
That I guess hurt as being the prototype for a quarterback for sure. Right.
I still miss it. I still enjoy throwing the football. It would have been nice to go to college and play both. It would have been a lot of work, but that would have been fun.
Yeah. Did you like football as much as baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think baseball has always been my passion, but, you know, I grew up playing football as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those sports I've always loved.
I'm going to do this later. I'll play this later because I listened to it yesterday, and it will kind of continue with the interview. But it was the 2010 Eufaula game, which I always bring up, and I've talked to you about this before. But it was a 92-yard scoring drive, basically with no timeouts, and you drove the field. We ended up losing the game because we missed an extra point at the end. But could you kind of take us through that? Because I think the last time we talked, we just kind of did it in passing. This was an incredible drive at the end of a football game. And I made a comparison. I went back and looked at some old files we had online from the Tallahassee Times. And and I compared it in one of the columns to the Joe Montana 92-yard drive when in the Super Bowl when they won and John Candy's in the stands. And they won the Super Bowl with the 49ers. But you just don't see that much at a high school level in the final seconds. Take us through that, if you can, if you can remember that.
Yeah, so
10 years ago.
That was my senior year, right?
Yes.
I think, didn't we actually lose yards 14. On the first down?
Yeah, you dropped, actually got hit, I think, blindside sack, and you're down on the one-yard line. So you had to really go 99 yards.
Right. Coach Jaller and Coach Jones, they did a really good job of preparing us for that type of drive because at the end of practice, we would always do a two-minute drill.
Yeah.
So now it's just basically we had to get out there and execute it. And like you said, we lost yards on that first down. And then we were running our spread package, throwing the ball around. We had guys that could catch it. We just drove down the field, ended up scoring, like you said, and then we missed that extra point. But, yeah, that drive was crazy. We were definitely prepared for it just because, like I said, we would always finish the practice with the two-minute drill. So we were pretty confident that we could get down there and score. We just had to execute now.
And you did score, and the clock was at 6.9 seconds when you scored the touchdown. So you used every bit of it just about. But what's it like when then you lost after something like that? I don't know what the emotions are like. After you do that, you score. Everybody's so high, and then it ended up being in the defeat.
Right, yeah, that was kind of depressing because I think that, you know, we had the chance to tie it up right there and possibly win that game, and that would have been an undefeated season right there.
Exactly.
Right?
You went 9-1 regular season.
Right.
Trey looking to throw. Here comes pressure. Goes down the field. Catch is made by Henderson. 10-5. Touchdown. Tallahassee has made it 14-13. Unbelievable drive. They go 92 yards down the field. What a play. I'm just in shock. It's 14-13 with 6.9 to play.
Well, you called it unbelievable. Michael Henderson and Vandell Daniel on the left side, and they were really close together. But Trey hits Henderson right in stride, and here comes Tallahassee for the extra point.
I almost wonder if you go for two. Our extra point unit's been unable to do much all year. Are we going to go for two or going to kick the extra point? And we don't have any timeouts, so we got to do something here. Here's the ball game, 14-13.
There's a lot of confusion.
We got to get the tee on the field. We got a little time. Faulkner's going to hold. Knapp is set to kick it. Snap is down. The kick is up.
No good.
Missed it.
What do you think after hearing that? I bet you hadn't heard that probably in 10 years. That's how long it goes.
That's wild. What do you think? It gives you chill bumps for sure. Man, just it's a crazy drive. Shows you how close we were to winning that game.
Well, let me ask you this, Trey. I mean, can you remember back that far? Did y'all want to go for two? Did you think that you could have won the game there? Or
heck, you just drove them 92 yards down the field and no timeout for the minute to play.
I mean, for me, you know, listening to that, you know, not being able to remember the game that much, but you know, you're hitting your receivers. Every pass is close, or hit them in the hands, or hit the person, or whatever. But man, right there, if you'd have done a rollout on the
what's your 2-point play? You got a 2-point play.
Yeah, we actually
I'm sure.
had a really good one with T.C. Robinson. He was on the line backside, and then he would just kind of flare out.
He actually became an eligible receiver.
Right, exactly. And it was. I think we might have ran it once, and it was a really good play. Like every time we were running in practice, it would always get the defense. So we had a good one set up. I just think we ran into a little bit of confusion right there at the end, and we were trying to scramble to get somebody out there to kick it.
Because you didn't, The luxury of a timeout would have been nice. You could have taken a timeout. Let's think about this. Let's do a two-point player. Let's kick. And that's why I said, you know, if you take a penalty, you can kick. It's not a big deal, 5 yards on the penalty for an extra point. But if you're trying to go for two now, you don't want to lose the five.
Right.
But we didn't get that option. We just kind of rushed it. And then,
yeah.
I hated it for Davis, because Davis basically volunteered to kick it.
Right.
He wasn't the kicker.
He was usually the holder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we just ran into a little bit of confusion on the sideline.
Yeah. And ended up being a two seed because you fall in winning the region.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played Spanish Fort
right. In
that playoff game, who ended up winning the state championship.
Won the whole thing, right.
Yeah, how about that game and that atmosphere? Coach Dollar was just still getting chills, he said, when he had that.
Yeah, that was unreal. They were a really good team. I think if we could have got past them, we would have had a good shot.
Yeah.
I remember that. Didn't they? What was the score of that game? They beat us by like two touchdowns, right?
Yeah, 35-21 or 34-21, okay, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember we had the momentum. We were driving on them, and then I think we had a fumble at midfield.
Yeah.
Turned it over, and they scored again.
34-21 was the final, yeah.
That kind of just took the air out of us right there.
As you look in some of those games, you guys made the playoffs three straight years,
mm-hmm.
but always met some tough team in the first round and ended up losing the first three years of our playoff run with Coach Battles. He was unable to get past that hurdle. What about that? I mean, I know that's something. You guys were good. I think your team was as good as a lot of teams we've had at Tallahassee. You just unfortunately couldn't get over that.
Yeah, I feel like we had a lot of talent. It was just getting past that first round.
Yeah.
We always matched up with that Mobile region, and, I mean, any of those teams could have been the number one seed. No matter if they were the fourth seed, they could have easily been the number one seed.
Had the wacky
kind of like with our region, which was pretty tough.
It was, and it was a wacky year. That one year when we met there was like four teams tied for first place,
right.
I think, or maybe it'd been five. One got left out. As far as the regular season goes, we look at you. We mentioned you follow the loss. There was a you follow win when they were number one in the state, and I guess you were a sophomore that season when they were still at J.E. Hunter Bryant Stadium. And Hunter Mullins kicked the field goal late to win it. But Brian Simpson returns a 99-yard kick. Might have been 99 and a half. He was right there near the goal line.
Brian Simpson back to return all the way to the goal line. And left sideline, he's off and running. 30, 40-yard line.
He's gone.
50, 40. Nobody's going to touch him. No penalty flags. As he takes it in for a touchdown.
That's it. 100-yard return. He caught that ball right at the goal line.
World-class speed right there.
You saw it. He broke a couple of tackles. Once he's down the sideline, nobody could catch him.
Yeah, I think that team right there was probably the most talented team that I played on. Like, I mean, you had so many guys. You had, Mike Smith, Quan Williams.
Thunder and Lightning, as we call them.
Yeah, running back, the receivers, all the guys could catch, could fly, good defense, good line. And that
excellent kicker and punter in Hunter Mullins, who was a two-time All-State player himself.
I mean, that all the way around the board, that was a solid team right there.
How does that Valley win? We always go back to that game, the 09 season at Valley, goes to overtime. I went back and I was listening to these audio clips yesterday. We had to block a kick that Davis Knapp blocked.
Yeah, he blocked.
And then they missed a kick after that, even at the end of regulation, it could have won it for them. And it was a chip shot at that. And then, of course, we won in overtime.
Hadaway's going to try it.
Looks like they're pretty much right in the middle of the field.
Will Foster will hold. 3:33. Clock is still rolling. Tallahassee has two timeouts and a 14-all game to give Valley the lead. Hadaway. It was just a 20-yard.
Blocked!
It's blocked! Blocked by the Tigers. And down on it at the 9-yard line. The Tigers blocked it.
Davis Knapp on the block. Davis Knapp coming from the right side of the Tiger defense on the block.
Gary, you just got to smile on that right there. I think this game should go to overtime. Wouldn't it be fitting this thing go to overtime? It's been that kind of game tonight.
It would.
Big kick coming. This will be for the win. A 22-yard try by Ben Hadaway for Valley. Snap and hold down. The kick is no good.
No good.
We're going to overtime. He missed it badly left. New life for the Tigers. So here comes the field goal try. It's a 30-yarder. And it's good. Hunter Mullins coming through with a 30-yard field goal to get Tallahassee its first lead, 17-14. Now they got to play defense. Enrique Florence in the game in I formation. He's a tailback.
He's a sweep.
They fumble. On the ground. They pick it up. Still running left. He's going to be tackled. Tallahassee's won it. They've won it. Tigers win. 17-14. Pandemonium here in Valley. Tigers win the region tonight in overtime.
You celebrate, Tigers. You celebrate, baby. Go do it right there on the field.
Michael Butler, you need to change that promo on sports every morning and put Rodney Dollar on there because we region champs right here in 5A football.
Take us through that game, what you remember.
That game, really, to be honest with you, the only part that sticks out is that is that last part.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the score of that game?
17-14 in overtime. We won.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing I do remember about that game was they scheduled us for homecoming.
Yes.
Right. So that kind of lit a fire under us right there and gave us a little extra motivation. You know, you got your big time rival and they schedule you for homecoming.
Right.
Right there just
you don't put
it
us
gets
on,
you on fire. Yeah. So that gave us a little extra motivation going into that game. And so yeah, that was a good one as well. I mean, there's been so many good ones throughout the few years I played there.
It is one more, too. And I feel like you said rival. It seemed like Valley was the rival back then,
right,
during your time, because it just became a great region matchup, and, yeah, and it was a last region game coming down for the region championship.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another game that was played that may not be one that a lot of people remember much, but it was the first game in the newly renovated J. Otto Bryant Stadium when we played Benjamin Russell. And to me, I think it's the biggest crowd we've had in the new stadium, yeah, since it's been renovated. Everybody wanted to see what had been done and the progression of the stadium, obviously moving the home side stands to the flip side. Do you remember a lot about that game? That would have been, I guess, that same year, 2010, yeah, I guess, your senior year. We won the game 19-17. Morgan Faulkner had a long run in that game.
Uh-huh.
Second and 10 for the Tigers. We have been told they will be putting it in the air quite a bit more this season. They open up on first down with a pass. Here's second and 10 with a shotgun. Faulkner to the left. A Trey who will give it to him. Running room across the 35, 40. Left sideline, 50-yard line. 45, 40. 35, 30. 25, 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! A 72-yard burst by newcomer, the transfer, Morgan Faulkner from Hooper Academy, gives Tallahassee a 6-0 lead.
Well, what a way to break in with your new team. First carry for Morgan Faulkner. 71 yards for the touchdown.
Do you think about things like the crowd? Because that was a huge crowd at J. Yeah, Bryant Stadium.
Like Coach Yaller was saying, the atmosphere was great. Like, you know, the fans came out. They rooted us on. And, you know, that's one of the big parts about Friday night, especially what makes it so great is, you know, coming out of the clubhouse, coming out of the walkthrough, you know, into a full stadium, just underneath the lights. Yeah, that was good to see that turnout, you know, coming out of the new field house. I do remember that Benjamin Russell team because those guys were hitting hard.
Because
I think they were, what, 6A at the time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they had some guys that were laying some laying down some hard hits.
You seem to be when it's under pressure, you seem to be pretty cool most of the time. Mm-hmm. Is it easy to you? I mean, you're driving a team down the field on the last drive of the game to win a football game on the football field. You come in a pressure packed situation, yeah, when you got to come and throw strikes or get a guy out. What's it like?
I think baseball has helped me with that just because, you know, you're competing against the batter, but really it's just you and that mitt. And so I think that kind of carried over to football as well. Like, you know, stick to the basics, stick to what you've been working on, and, you know, do the best you can, manage the time, and try to put the guys in the right position to come out on the top.
You brought something. You've worked with my son, and I know a lot of other kids around here. And one of the things you said to him that I always try to push to him, and I think it's something to kind of take to heart, and a lot of people should be listening to this, is flush it. You know, that you said bad pitch, don't worry, flush it, go on to the next one. I think you flushed it when you got sacked. There wasn't anything you could do. You got hit in the backside, but you 99 yards to go. Flush it, and you went on and won the football. Well, you went won the drive. You went down, and we should have won the game. But that's a pretty good philosophy to keep, isn't it?
Yeah, I try to go by that a lot because, you know, especially with pitching, I mean, you throw so many pitches, you're gonna have bad pitches. You're going to give up home runs, give up hits, whatever the case may be. But if you're constantly thinking about that last pitch, it's going to get you another bad pitch or another home run. You just got to, at some point, you got to flush it, say this next pitch is going to be my best one right here. And I think you can apply that to a bunch of things, like you said, with football as well. Got sacked on that first drive, but hey, let's get back to business, flush it. You know, this is a new down. You know, let's pick up what we can and keep it moving.
If you're a batter, you might have the hat trick, 0-for-3 with three strikeouts, but the next hit might be the game winner. You never know, right?
You got to turn around and show up the next day as well.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 more ABs.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Trey. I always appreciate you coming down, and good luck with the season. I hope we get to see you called up here.
Whether
it's a COVID-19 season or next year, I know you're still working at it, and we're proud of what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
As always, appreciate you coming down this morning. Trey Cochran-Gale, ladies and gents, talking not only baseball but a little football, too, as we, again, break down 100 years of Tallahassee High School football. More coming up as we continue on WTLS.